Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Isaiah chapter number 6 tonight, and you could preach what I'm going to preach for 2 hours, but I'm definitely not going to. I just want to leave you with a little thought tonight and try to encourage your heart and maybe stir our hearts a little more for Him. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 6, and you pray for us this month. I've got several meetings where I'll be preaching out this month, and week after next I'll be in South Carolina for a night at Brother Mike Edwards' youth camp, and then I'll be at Freedom, and I'll be up in Virginia this month. Also, so you pray for us as we preach this month that the Lord will help us and be an encouragement to the other churches that I'll be in. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 6, these are familiar verses, but I hope that we'll let them speak to our heart again tonight. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Isaiah chapter number 6, I want to begin reading in verse number 1. Isaiah chapter number 6, verse number 1 says this: In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had 6 wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Let me read that to you again. And one cried unto the other and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Amen. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, saying, Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Listen to this, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go, and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Look with me, verse number 8. I want to use it for a text for just a few minutes tonight. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for me? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Then said I, Here am I, send me. And I want to preach on this thought for just a little while tonight. Where is the Isaiahs of our day? Where is the Isaiahs of our day? Here am I, send me. Father, help us tonight. I pray, God, that you'd breathe on us for a little while, God. Preach us in power and unction and demonstration of the Holy Spirit of God. Father, may we see you high and mighty, lifted up. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Where is the Isaiahs of our day? He said, Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. It has been said that Isaiah was a missionary in his day. His mission field was Israel and Judah. His message was a message of judgment for revival to bring salvation. And can I say something to you today? What greater message is there to preach today? There is a judgment that is coming, but I sure am thankful, as I said this morning, that God can show grace in the midst of judgment, and revival can come, and we can still see souls saved in the day and age in which we look at. Isaiah's outlook was dark because his beloved king had just died. In verse number 1, the Bible starts out, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. His earthly outlook seemed to be dark, but his upward look seemed to be that of light. Even though it may have been going down, it may have seemed in the world because his beloved king was dead. Isaiah turned his attention not on what was happening on the earth, but Isaiah turned his attention on earthly or on heavenly things. If we keep our eyes on earthly things, each and every one of us will be upset, and each and every one of us will be discouraged. Oh, but Isaiah got his eyes off of the earthly things and focused his eyes on the heavenly things in this day. It's oft been said that Isaiah was a volunteer. Isaiah was somebody that volunteered his time in the service of the Lord. Can I say this to you? A volunteer, I would put it this way, is one who engages in a service not for his own good, but for the good of others. Amen. He freely enlists himself to do whatever the master needs done. Can I say something to you today? We're in a day where we need some Isaiahs. Amen. We need some ladies that'll say, here am I, send me. We need some men that'll say, here am I, send me. Where is the Isaiahs of our day? Our country's headed to hell. Our community's headed to hell. Our churches are dying out and selling out from old time religion. We need some people today that'll say, here I am, Lord. I'll be Isaiah. I'll do what you have me to do. Where's the Isaiahs of our day? Where's the Isaiahs of our day? Let me show you four things quickly and we'll go home. Number one, I see the prophet's Christ. I see his Christ. What did the Bible say in verse number 1? The Bible said this, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. Amen. I see his Christ. Matter of fact, if you'll begin reading Isaiah chapter number 6, and don't do this right now, but when you get home, flip your Bible over to the book of Revelation, chapter number 4, and you know what you'll see? You'll see just about the exact same thing in Revelation 4. As you're seeing in Isaiah 6, what is the center of what's going on in Isaiah 6 and Revelation 4? Here's what the center of it is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah's got his eyes off of everybody else. Isaiah has removed himself from thinking about everything else. And Isaiah has got his eyes on the heavenly throne and the worship around the throne of God. Hear me and hear me well tonight. We must remove this world from our eyes. We must not worry about what they say about us and the way that they may treat us. Hey, here's what we must focus our attention on today. There is a great judgment day that is ahead of us. We're not going to stand in account for the sins that we committed, because thank God they're under the blood. But we will stand and give an account for what we've done for Christ. And we need some Isaiahs tonight that'll say, here am I. I'll focus my eyes on him. Here am I, send me. The prophet's Christ tonight. He had his focus on Christ. He had his focus on God. Boy, it's so easy to get focused on everything else. So easy to worry about what this one says or that one says. Oh, you know what Isaiah did though? He focused his eyes on the Lord. You know what? When you study the Bible, there's never been nobody in the Word of God that got focused on Him that it didn't change their life. Yeah, man. There's never been nobody that got focused on him that didn't change their life. You know what he was doing? He was seeing the glory of God. He's seeing those around the throne of God, and they're saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and is to come." He said, in the past he was holy. In the present he's holy. In the future he'll be holy. All you can say about God is he is holy. Matter of fact, around the throne there's beasts flying with eyes without and eyes within. When you study them out, they've got one purpose, and that is to find fault. They're fault-finding beasts. And as they, well, amen, as they fly around the throne of God tonight, they ain't but one thing they can say: holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Where's the Isaiah that will focus his eyes on the glory of God? What did Moses say? Moses said, "Show me thy glory." And he was never the same. Hey, let me tell you something. Old Saul was on the road to Damascus, and there was a great light shone out of heaven, and he was turned into Paul, and his life was never the same. Peter, James, and John was on the mountain of transfiguration one day, and the glory of God shone about them, and they was never the same. You may tell you what we need in our day. We need to see the glory of God one more time. Oh God, won't you show us your glory one more time? His focus tonight. What was it? I see the prophet Christ. He said, I seen him. Boy, if we just see him. Oh yeah. If we just get a glimpse of him. Yes, yes. If we just get a glimpse of him. I got to move. I told you I wasn't going to preach long. Number one, I see the prophet's Christ. Number two, I see the prophet's confession. Amen. Now I'll give you time to say amen. Now let's move on a little bit. I see the prophet's confession. When he seen him, look back in chapter number 5. Look back in chapter number 5. Look in verse number 8 of chapter number 5. Woe unto them. Look in verse number 11. Woe unto them. Look in verse number 18. Woe unto them. Look in verse 20. Woe unto them. 21. Woe unto them. 22. Woe unto them. But in chapter number 6, he saw the Lord, the prophet's Christ. Then you see the prophet's confession. Note what he says in verse number 5. Then said I, woe is me. Woe is me. Hear me tell you something, that Pharisaical crowd that looks down their nose at everybody, thinks they're better than everybody else, hear me tell you what their problem is, they've got their eyes focused at the wrong place. Holler amen and help me right there. They've got their eyes focused at the wrong place. I'm better than they are and this and that, and nobody ever dresses good enough, and everybody else is always wrong. Hey, look up in here. You need to get your focus on Christ and get it off of humanity. And when Isaiah got his focus right, when he seen Christ, he began to say, woe is me. He said, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm undone. And he begins to confess his sin to the Lord. There was his confession. His confession in verse number 5. He said, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips. I thought about this. In verse number 5, he saw his depravity. What did he say? He said, I am undone. He saw his dirtiness. He said, because I'm a man of unclean lips. And then he saw those that was around him. He said, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. Watch this. Hey, look here. Isaiah was not putting himself above nobody at this moment. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I'm undone, and those around me is people of unclean lips. He begins to confess. Where's the Isaiahs that will focus on him? That'll just look at him. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. When you look at him and you see him, Brother Aaron, in his glory, in him and his holiness, let me tell you what it'll do to you. It'll cause you to humble yourself in the presence of a holy God and realize just how wicked and vile and sorry we are. He said, woe is me. Woe is me. I see the prophet's Christ. I see the prophet's confession. Number 3 tonight, I see the prophet's cleansing. I see it's cleansing. Look what the Bible said in verse number 6. Then flew one of the servants, or one of the seraphims, unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. I see not only the prophet's Christ, I see the prophet's confession, but I see the prophet's cleansing. You see, when he saw the Lord and saw how wicked and vile he was and admitted to who he was and the condition that he was in, aren't you glad there was a God that was long suffering to him and a God that cleansed him? Before we can minister to others, we must first allow God to minister to us and to clean us up. Hey, God didn't have to use Isaiah right here. God could have said, no, you messed up, Isaiah. I'm not going to use you. Oh, but God heard the prayer that he prayed unto him and the confession that he made unto him, and God cleansed him of that. I don't know about anybody else. I sure am thankful that in the midst of my fault, and in the midst of my failures, and in the midst of the times that I mess up, I sure am glad I can crawl up on the altar and I can 1 John 1:9 that I can confess my sins to him, and he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Amen. Hey, the prophet's cleansing. God forgave him and cleaned him up. I don't know about anybody else, but I sure am thankful for the forgiveness of God tonight. I sure am thankful for the cleansing of God tonight. I'm not what I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be, and I definitely ain't what I'm going to be, because there's coming a day that the Lord's going to come back and call me home to be with him, and according to the Bible, I'll be likened unto the Son of God. But until then, we must keep our focus on him. We must keep our confession right. And then there's the cleansing. Now, number 4. I told you I was going to preach fast. See, I said 4 points, and y'all thought you was going to be here all night. Man, it's just 5 minutes to 7. I ain't been preaching but 15 minutes. Watch this. I feel like I've been preaching 3 hours, though. Watch this. Number 4. I see the prophet's commission. I see his commission. You said, preacher, what are you saying? Well, look what he said in verse number 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go. And he said, go. There was his commission. God sent him out to do a work. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight. If you'll get a hold of who he is, I'm going to slow down a minute and wind this thing down. If you'll get a hold of who he is, who he is, oh yes, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If you'll get a hold of who he is, I'm telling you what it'll make you do. It will draw you and drive you to confession. When we get to looking at who he is, it shows us how bad we are, and it will draw us and drive us to confession. And in those times of confession, aren't you glad that there's cleansing for what we've done wrong? And then there's a commissioning. You said, preacher, I want to do something for God. Get your heart right. Fall in love with him. Get your eyes off everybody else and say, here am I. And guess what? He'll send you. He'll do it. He'll do it. I've talked to young men before that's younger and not been saved long, and they'll say things like this, boy, I want to preach one day. You know what I always tell them, man, keep your heart right with God. Stay true to God. He'll give you the desires of your heart. He might just let you do that. I've said this many times. If you're sitting here tonight and you're a man that fits the qualifications of a preacher, you should have surrendered to preach. That don't mean that you're going to start preaching, but you know what you say? Lord, here's my life. If you want me to be a preacher, then, Lord, here I am. God, here I am. Lord, let me do something for you. Let me do something for you. His commission, he said, go. You better be real careful saying, God, here am I, send me. God, here am I, send me. I remember just right after Leslie and I got saved. Just right after Leslie and I got married, we said, Lord, here's our life. Here it is. And I'll never forget on Wednesday night of the missions conference at our home church then was Sterner's Creek. Brother Curtis Gibson was preaching at missions conference. He's still in Louisiana, isn't he? He's in Florida now. Anyway, he's somewhere. And he was preaching at meeting. And Leslie and I surrendered that night to go with Rock of Ages Prison Ministries. In the first 5 years of our marriage, we spent on the road with Rock of Ages Prison Ministries and loved every minute. I had no desire to leave them. I didn't have no desire to leave them. God placed us at Northwood and put us in training for a year and a half as an assistant pastor. Matter of fact, the last of this month, July the 30th of this month, I begin my 16th year here at Amazing Grace. My 16th year. And you know what? Here's what I'm saying. When you say, here am I, send me, he may send you. Be real careful what you say. Amen. You know what? I understand that every young lady's not going to marry a preacher. I understand that. But you know what? You ought to say, Lord, if you want me to marry a preacher and go to the mission field, then that's what I'll do. I fuss with one of my girls every once in a while because she says she don't want to marry a preacher. And I say, well, what if God makes you marry a preacher? What are you going to do then? Are you going to limit God's best for your life? Can I just tell you something? I have no sad stories to tell about the ministry. I'd rather be doing what I'm doing than anything in this world. I'd rather be preaching the gospel of Christ. I'd rather be dealing with people. I'd rather be pastoring this church. Man, I wouldn't trade what I'm doing with nobody in this world. You say, preachers, there are tough times. Sure, there's tough times. But His grace is sufficient through every bit of it. Say, preachers, is there ever problems? Is there any people? Jack Kyle said, if you got people, you got problems. I wouldn't trade it with nobody. Brother Jeff, it's the greatest life that a man could live is the life surrendered to Christ and serving Him. Where's the Isaiah tonight? Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Where's that young person that says, Lord, here am I. I'll go. Whatever it is, wherever it is. You know, I think about Miss Larner tonight in Africa. She's not married. She's 22, 23 years old. On the mission field tonight, working on the mission field. We support her monthly. I think about Miss Sarah Barnett with Rock of Ages, just moved to Utah and took over that prison where Miss Brown was at. I think about, hey, there's something for everybody to do. So, preach, I want to do something. Some people only want to do something if they can be the limelight. You know what? I'm going to help you right here, Brother Heath. We having a meeting here in just a minute about people decorating the church. Here am I, Lord. Lord, as long as I can be behind the pulpit, I'll go. Lord, as long as I can get recognition, I'll go. Amen. I'm very reluctant to say this. I'm very reluctant to say this, but I'm going to. We had youth camp just a couple weeks ago. And on Wednesday of it, usually about Wednesday, is drag day instead of hump day. Everybody's been there for 2 days. They've not slept much. And rolling into Wednesdays, everybody's starting to drag. So on that Wednesday, he said, amen. So on that Wednesday, I talked to Brother David on that Tuesday. And I told him, Brother David Williams, I said, hey, man, I said, why don't me and you man the grill tomorrow evening? Why don't we cook tomorrow evening? He said, man, that's fine with me. I said, we can let the biggest part of the workers go back. And I said, we actually ended up allowing everybody to leave after lunch at that day. The different youth workers took their groups. Heath took ours to Sonic. Dairy Queen. Dairy-O. That's right, Dairy-O. I knew it was one of them things. To Dairy-O and got them ice cream. They spent time together. And I told him, I said, you know what? I said, why don't we man that grill? And I didn't even, only thing that I had took was suits to wear. So I run to Walmart off of University at 11 o'clock on that Tuesday night. And my friend was in my pocket. And I kept my hand on my friend the entire time. You say, who was your friend? Well, it's called Cars. K-A-H-R, not C-A-R, but K-A-H-R. If you don't have a friend like that, I strongly, they're a good friend. They're a very good friend. I had my friend in my pocket, Brother Tim. And I went down there and they picked on me because I bought some $13 tennis shoes. some of the most comfortable tennis shoes I've ever had, though. I bought some $13 tennis shoes and a pair of pants down there and a T-shirt so we could cook. And on that Wednesday, me and him stood over that grill. Man, it was 937 degrees. And we cooked, and me and Rebecca cleaned the bathrooms. There's 437 bathrooms at Woodland. Me and Rebecca, my sister, we cleaned those bathrooms and scrubbed the commodes and the sinks. And there's 937 pieces of glass in the front part of coming into Woodland. You that come down there one night, you know, there's glass everywhere out there. And I hate cleaning glass. I'd just soon for you to punch me right square in the jaw than to have to clean glass. Me and Rebecca cleaned every bit of that glass. You say, preacher, why do you say that? Here's the reason I say that. We never rise above being a servant. If you have to be, nobody knew that. Me and her just took care of it. Hardly nobody knew that me and Brother David Williams, one of our guest preachers in the meeting, one of the keynote speakers in the meeting, that me and him stood out there over that grill. If you have to be recognized for it, you're not a servant. You're doing it for all the wrong reasons. You know what Isaiah said? He said, come start playing softly or I'm going to lie and preach long. He said, here am I, Lord. After he saw him, you know what God said? God said, go. In closing note this with me. The order that God used in Isaiah's life. Verse 1 through 4, there's worship. In other words, there's Christ. In verse number 5, there was a woe. There was a confession. In verse number 7, there was a low, which led to a cleansing. And in verse number 9, there was a go, which was a commission. There was Christ, confession, cleansing, commission. That's what there was. I'll say this to you. I'm not called to save people. Did you hear what I just said? I'm not called to restore the backslidden. I'm not called to put homes back together, Jacob. You know what I'm called to do? I'm called to preach the word. I'm called to be a servant. And all the rest of that is up to him. And it was a good day, Brother Jeff, in my ministry when I realized that as long as I stood and preached, Brother Ramsey, and done what God told me to do, the rest is up to him. You say, well, preacher, I don't know how I'd ever do it. You know what? There may be some man sitting there tonight and God's been dealing with your heart about preaching. I don't know how I'd ever do it. Can I just tell you something? Just trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Giving everything to him. Surrendering everything. Where's the Isaiah's tonight? Here am I, Lord. Send me. Father.